and turn to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the 14th chapter, please. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Chapter 14, verse number 1, Joshua. And these are the countries which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel distributed for inheritance to them. By lot was their inheritance as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 tribes and for the half tribe. For Moses had given the inheritance of 2 tribes and a half tribe on the other side Jordan, but unto the Levites he gave none inheritance among them. For the children of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim. Therefore, they gave no part unto the Levites in the land, save cities to dwell in, with their suburbs for their cattle and for their substance. As the Lord commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did, and they divided the land. And then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet hath trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, become the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Let us pray. Father, now I want to thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness, your grace. I want to thank you for the wonderful, blessed book, the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much, Father. And thank you for being able to gather here this day. Thank you for the folk who saw fit to come, faithfully, Lord, to come and be here in this place to hear the Word of God preached and also to sing praises to you and to give and do the things that we do together here. Now, Lord, this preacher needs you. You know what I need. I need your power, I need your wisdom and other things from you, Father, that I need. And I ask you, God, to help me. And Lord, help me be a blessing to these people, Lord, that we might just go from this place having just, Lord, heard from thee. And Lord, with a determination, we're just going to be better for you than we've ever been before. Should there be anyone here, Lord, that's not saved, not born again, oh God, let this be the day when they receive Christ as their Savior. Now you bless in an unusual way, and I'll sure thank and praise you for it. In Jesus' lovely name, amen. All right. Jerry's placed this stool here, and as he told you earlier, it's a pulpit stool. And but anyway, he's placed it here in case I might want to just sit down. If I disappear, just don't think anything about it. I'll just keep preaching. But I think we're going to make it all right. But anyway, I thank him for the stool, and I think that'll be a help and a blessing. But I'm going to preach a message today, and I've entitled it, Daddy, Be a Caleb. Amen. Daddy, be a Caleb. I'm so grateful for daddies. I love to see men in church. I mean that bottom of my heart. Oh, I love to see the ladies there too. Usually you get the hard-headed men there, those ladies, they'll be willing to come. And that's usually the way it is. And but I'm always thankful. I'm always grateful to just see men in church. And it's my desire. I want to see men be something special for God. I want them to do something special for the Lord. And I'm going to just take some things here this morning and give you, I'm going to just basically give you four things when we get done here that I look at Caleb's life and I look at him and say, you know what? I'd like to be like that. I don't ever want to quit learning. I don't ever want to quit growing in the Lord. I may get old and dilapidated, but I want to tell you something. I want to keep learning. I don't ever want to quit learning about God. I want to be better. I want to be a better daddy tomorrow than I was today. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better Christian than I've ever been in all of my life. And I got room for improvement. And so do you. Amen. Amen. And I got room for improvement, but I want to be better. I don't want to ever stop being good for God. Amen. Everything that comes into your life, God has got a purpose and a reason for it. He's trying to make us be better for Him than we've ever been before. And it's all worth it. No matter what it is, it's all worth it. You see, because God is good. And God does everything for good in our life. So I just want you to realize that we need to be better. And daddies, you're one of the keys in the home. You're the key in the home. Have a better family, better home, better place, amen, and a better church, because daddies, you're the key. I believe that with all my heart. We can't do without the ladies, but daddies, you're the key. Men, you're the key to the strength of the church and the home, the family. And so I'm just going to give you a few things. This man by the name of Caleb, he's one of these fellows that if you kind of look back into the Bible, and you know, I think about people like Joseph. And I think about like Abraham and Moses and Paul and Peter and some of these guys that's real well known, you know, in the Bible, and quite a bit was written about them. And I think about them and how God greatly used them. But there's fellows like Caleb that I kind of sometimes kind of look and they kind of become my heroes. I love Elijah. Elijah's always been one of my favorites in the Bible. I like to read about Elijah. I like to preach about Elijah. He's just always been kind of one of my favorites, you know. But there's sometimes these guys that maybe is not too much said about them. And I know there's some said about Caleb, but not a whole lot said about him. They kind of become my heroes because they're the fellows that's kind of in the background. And they're the ones that keeps things together. I don't know all that Joshua had to go through. I don't know all that Moses had to go through, but he needed Caleb's. Yes. Right. He needed Caleb's. He needed men like Caleb. And Caleb was a tremendous man of God, as far as I'm concerned. And I wrote just here in took a pencil and wrote four things here about Caleb in my note here. And I was thinking about him, and I said, first of all, I said, he was a willing servant. He's a willing servant. Boy, you read about Caleb. No one had to prod him, get him going. He was just a willing servant. I also wrote here, he was patient. Any person can wait for 45 years to get that which God promised him is patient. Amen. And then I wrote, he was faithful. Oh, how faithful he was. He was a faithful man of God. And then I wrote there at the last, I said, he just believed God. Just believed God. And I thought, boy, what great traits that is. It'd just be good just to believe God, wouldn't it? He come along here and stepped out of the ranks and said here to Joshua, you know what? God promised me this. God promised me this 45 years ago, and I'm ready to receive it. I want that which God promised me. And so I think he's one of these great Bible characters, basically because he just believed God. He just believed God. You know, I determined a good long time ago what determines the greatness of a man. Now, I'm going to give this to you. I said this way back when I first begun to preach. I said, what's going to determine what kind of a person we are when it comes right down to it? What kind of a man of God we're going to be? Is it going to be because we've drawn great crowds? Is it because we've done great exploits? And when I got done with all the things I began to ask myself, I had to say, no, that's not it. And what I really come down to, what do I believe a great man of God is? Is a man who has yielded his whole life to God. I think you can measure the greatness of a man by how much he's yielded his life unto the Lord. That's what determines it all. You see, we've got to be yielded unto him. That's why I'd like to see a lot of daddies here today just yielded over to God. And sometime one of these days, some of you are probably going to be daddies one of these days. Be yielded over to God. Just give your heart and your life to him. The Bible says here about Caleb that he wholly followed the Lord. He just wholly followed the Lord. He was completely yielded over to the Lord. I believe something too. When we go back and we look probably at Caleb's younger life, he was full of vigor and he was young and living for God. And I thought about how that as he grew along the way, that his age did not diminish his faith. I want to see that. You know, when we get older, we ought not to do less for God and be less for God. We ought to be closer to God than we've ever been. We ought to recognize God's working in our life more than we ever have in all of our life. You see, we're young and there's a lot of things happen, when we're young, we're growing, learning all those things. But I want to tell you, I've come to know God a lot better when I got older. No, I'm talking about knowing him personally. I might not do as much physical work as I did for him, but I want to tell you, he's more real to me. The older I get, the more real God becomes to me. And I believe that that's the way it's supposed to be. And I think that's the way it was here with Caleb. The older he got, God become more real to him. So what I'm going to do is give you four things here. Four basic things, simple things, that I look at the life of Caleb and I say, you know what? These were things that I want to mimic. I want to be like him. And I hope you will be too. Daddy, be a Caleb. And listen to me, folks. You know, you listen to messages like this. You hear the preaching of the Word of God. And you come on Father's Day and you say, we're just going to hear another Father's Day message. And, and sometimes we just kind of settled in our heart that when we come, we're pretty well going to go home the same way we came. You've got to let God do something for you. You got to let God change you. Everything that God does in our life, it's to change us and make us better for him. You see, and why are you here this morning? Just here to hear a message and then go home and get a dessert and go home? No, it's more than that. I want you to get the dessert, but I want you to get something from God's Word. I want you to take it home with you, and I want you to apply it to your life. You know, quit just coming and listen to the Word of God and then just go on home the way you came. That's not good enough. You got to take the Word of God and you've got to apply it. And all I'm going to do is give you four simple things that I wish you and I would work on and help us to be like Caleb. Amen. First of all, I want you to notice that Caleb's faith never did waver. It never wavered. I want to tell you, his faith just kept on. from way back here, from the time he was promised that land up until the time when he stepped out of the ranks to accept that land and claim that land, he was strong in faith. If you'll notice down through there, he just believed what God said. Whatever God said, he believed it. And we need daddies. We need daddies whose faith will not waver. As you grow older and as you become more mature, don't let your faith waver. Be a stronger Christian tomorrow than you was today. Grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Just don't quit. You can go back in Caleb's life and you see when he went over across the river there into the promised land and he came back with those other spies. There was 12 of them all together. 10 of them came back. The Bible says here in the text that I read today that those 10 made the hearts of the people melt. They came back with a bad report. They said, we can't do it. God said, go over and take that land. They come back and said, we can't do it. But there was Caleb and there was Joshua. They came back from across there and said, yes, we can do it. Doesn't make any difference how big the people are, how many of them they are. Doesn't make any difference about those things. We can do it. Why? Because God said we can do it. His faith never, ever wavered. And we need daddies. We need men. And of course we need other people too. But I'm talking to daddies and men today. We need you to be men of faith. You just believe God. Don't you change. And don't you go back on the way you used to live and the faith you used to have when you first got saved. No, you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Don't ever let your faith just waver. I'm going to give you a verse of scripture. You don't have to turn there, but back in the book of Numbers. I want you to listen to a statement that was made about Caleb. He said, but my servant Caleb, boy, if you stopped right there, what a blessing that would be. God said, my servant Caleb. He said, Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring unto the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. God said he's my servant, and he said he's got a different spirit than that other crowd had. That other crowd didn't have much of a spirit. They wanted to quit and run. That's all they wanted to do. But he said, my servant Caleb, he had a spirit in him. He had another spirit in him. That's the kind of spirit you and I need in us. A spirit of serving God. No matter what happens and what comes our way, we just serve God and you go on. That's what Caleb did, you see. And he said, he followed me fully. Isn't that amazing that God could say, he followed me fully? Can you imagine that? That's a tremendous thing for God to be able to say about him. And he said, because of that, I'm going to bring him into the land. I'm going to give him that land that I promised him, and he's going to possess it. And I love what it says, though, also, he says, and his seed. See, we are so selfish. We just don't understand what's coming in the future. We don't understand what's coming up behind us. Folks, I want you to understand something. It's not just about us. It's about our seed that's coming up behind us. We've got to get this thing together. We've got to do right. Why? There's folk coming up behind us. There's our children coming up. What are they going to do? Are they going to serve God for the rest of their lives? Are they going to walk with God? Isn't it important enough for you to be faithful to God so your seed will? Amen. You see, and that's what God said about Caleb here. It's kind of like God said in the book of Romans about Abraham. He said, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. That's what God said about Abraham. You know what he said? He said he didn't stagger in unbelief. He believed God. And he just knew that whatever God said, God would do. That's exactly what Caleb said, done. Caleb did the very same thing. Whatever God said 45 years ago, I'm here to claim it. You know why? Because God said it, and God's going to do it. Amen. Now, folks, why don't we be daddies? Why don't we be Calebs like that? Why don't we do that? Why don't we claim the promises of God and promise God that those little sweethearts that we're raising come up behind us? And even if you didn't have any, there's plenty around here to adopt and plenty around here to say, I'll be a good example. Amen. Sure. And so I'm simply saying to you folks, listen, we need to realize these kids are worth it. Oh, every one of them, they're worth it. And they need examples like you, daddies. They need you to be a Caleb and be strong in the faith. I want to tell you something. When it comes to Caleb, you never found old Caleb amongst those that rebelled against Moses. You read that story back in there, and I want to tell you what, they was all kinds of people raising up in rebellion against Moses over and over and over. You just read it. Caleb wasn't in that group. He wasn't in that rebellious mess. I'll tell you something else he wasn't. He wasn't one of the grumblers either. You want to read through there, you find that them people was always grumbling about something. God didn't do this right. Moses didn't do that right. All of this constantly going on and on and on and on. And you didn't find Caleb doing that. No, you know how I know? Because God said he wholly followed me. Yeah, and you didn't find him amongst that unbelieving crowd that wanted to turn back. No, 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 no. You didn't find Caleb in that group. He was faithful. His faith never wavered. I want to tell you, you didn't find him looking back to the leeks and garlics of Egypt and saying, I wish we was back there. Forgetting all the mess that was back there in Egypt and all of that. You didn't find Caleb amongst that group. No, no, no. Caleb was a wonderful, wonderful man of God, used of God. You didn't find Caleb amongst those who disobeyed God. And multitudes during that time that he was living, multitudes disobeyed God, walked away from God. But you didn't find Caleb in that group. Now what's the matter? Why can't we say the same thing? Amen. You didn't find Caleb amongst those that turned to idolatry. You didn't find him dancing around that old golden calf. No, 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 no. You say, how you know? Because the Bible says he wholly followed God. And what I'm saying to you, Daddy, be a Caleb. Holy follow God. Don't be mixed up in all those things that I just mentioned. You know, here's a man who walked with God for 45 years. In between the time that he had been promised what God was going to give him. And he was walking amongst an unbelieving crowd, a grumbling crowd, a crowd that was a mess, and yet he wholly followed God. I hear this all the time. I want to tell you, well, I know, but you know, the day we live in, baloney. That's a bunch of baloney, the day we live in. My goodness sakes alive, you went back there in that mess and you'd have walked with that crowd for all of them 45 years. You'd have been probably looking for a place to hide somewhere. I want to tell you something. He just stood there and walked with God. And no matter what happens, we ought not to be griping and complaining and doing all of this. We ought to just walk with God. I get tired of complainers, don't you? I just get so tired of complainers. What you got to complain about? Goodness gracious alive. It's you know, it doesn't matter. You want to go through the Bible, you'll find some people back there that would have had a reason to complain if they decided to. But they didn't. They just walked with God. I was reading in my Bible reading this morning, and there before I came out here, come over early and read about Jeremiah. I sat there and shook my head. I really did. I was reading and I shook my head. I said, God, I want to tell you that Jeremiah went through it. I mean, he was in prison, out of prison. They beat him, they smote him, they put him down in that old dungeon, down in that mire. And they wouldn't feed him. And there for a while, the king said to him, well, I'll give you a morsel of bread every day so you'll be alive. I mean, that's all he got. There was famine in the land. He was surrounded by enemies. And old Jeremiah just stayed faithful. Said, well, what did God say? Well, God said we're supposed to give in to the Chaldeans. We're supposed to go down there and be in captivity. That wasn't a popular message. Yeah, they hated him for it. They despised him for it. They put him down in that dungeon for that message. I mean, down in the mire, and they had to just throw some old rags and what do they call them, cast clots or something like that, and put around him underneath his arms because he had sunk in the mire down to his arms, pits. And they had to put him around him, pull him up out of there, out of that old mire. And it said he lived there in the prison court then until they come and took Jerusalem just like he had said they was. And we want to gripe? Want to complain? What's the matter with us? Amen. Why don't we be a Caleb? Why don't we just walk with God no matter what comes our way? Just walk with God. Amen. Quit the complaining and griping and all that mess. And just walk with God. Amen. Set a good example for those that's coming up around you. They'll see somebody just walking with God. Loving God no matter what happens. Amen. You see, I don't know about you, but I know where my victory's at. My victory's not in Bob Ross. My victory's not in you. My victory's in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and died for me. Amen. That's where my victory's at, you see. I don't have to worry about, am I going to come out all right? I don't have to worry about down the road. You know why? Because my victory is in Christ Jesus, my wonderful Lord. My goodness sakes, folks, you ought to say amen. Amen. Few of you are, rest of you asleep. Just wake up. Amen. You ought to be glad that your victory's in Christ. You see, that's where our victory's at. It's in Christ, you see. And then we wouldn't be complaining and all that. We just need to have some folk whose faith won't waver. You just walk with God no matter what happens. Amen. For our faith is in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. Secondly, Caleb's strength never weakened. Now, I want you to listen to me a minute. He's a picture. He's a picture not of someone who's never going to weaken in bodily strength. If that was true, Paul would be a mess. He's a picture, an Old Testament picture, of his strength never weakening as far as his strength in God. His strength in the Lord. Look at verse number 11, I think it is. And yet as I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. You know what? We ought to be as strong in God today as we was yesterday, and we ought not to ever grow weak in the Lord. There's battles to be fought. God is, like he said there, he had the strength to go in and out to battle, to war. We ought to always be ready for those battles and those fights that's going to come our way. And we ought to never weaken. Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight. He didn't do that as a weak Christian. He said also that he'd finished his course. He didn't quit halfway. There's these quitters around. I mean, they just want to quit halfway down the road, around the track. I mean, they just quit. No, they just want to quit. They're not faithful. They don't do things that they ought to do. They're just unfaithful folk. See, they quit. Why do you quit? You see, because you've lost the strength of God in your life. You need God's strength. I need it. I need it to fight a good fight. I need it to finish my course, and I need it to keep the faith. And that's what Caleb did. He said, I'm just as strong today as I was yesterday. Folks, daddies, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Stand up for God. Quit being a little mouse. Stand up for God. Stand up for the things of God. Amen. Don't just run at the first little problem that comes your way. Stand up. Be something for God. Be a daddy that's going to set an example for his children. And let me tell you, when you look at the scriptures, you find that the reward for all that he did was complete victory. The Bible tells us he went in and he drove out the sons of Anak. I mean, he drove them out completely. He had complete victory. I want at the end of your life, I want you to have victory in your life. I want your Christian life to be able to look back on it and say, there's victory there. I walked with God. I kept the strength of God. I walked with him all of my life. I did not give up, you see. And there was others that did. Look at chapter 17 real quick. Verse number 12. He says, and yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites would dwell in that land. You know what the problem is? There's some folk who just never drive out the enemies. You know why? Because they've grown weak. They don't have any strength in God anymore. And they've just give up. They've just quit. They don't want to walk the Christian life. And, Caleb didn't do that. Caleb said, you know, his strength was just as great today as it was when he was a young man. I'm saying to you, we ought to grow stronger in the Lord. The older we get, we ought to grow stronger in the Lord and have the strength of God in our life. You know why he could say that? Because he wholly followed the Lord. See, his faith never wavered. His strength never weakened. Now let me show you something else he did. He took the blessings of God that God had given him, and he spread it to others. I want you to look at chapter 15, verse 15. And he went up thence to the inhabitants of Derbe, and the name of Derbe before was Kirjath-Sefer. And Caleb said, he that smiteth Kirjath-Sefer and taketh it to him, will I give Akisha my daughter to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave to Akisha his daughter to wife. And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass. Caleb said unto her, what wouldest thou? Who answered, give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a southland. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. And this is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their families. Say, Brother Ross, what you talking about? He gave blessings to his daughter. Folks, isn't it worth it to you to see to it one of these days that your children honestly will be walking with God? Not running around here all backslidden away from God? You've got to walk with God to see to that. You've got to keep close to God. You've got to set the pattern for them. Do you understand me? You know, some of these young people right looking at me goggle-eyed right now like they couldn't give a hoot. You know why they don't give a hoot? Because a lot of times their parents don't give a hoot. Couldn't give a hoot one way or another. They're not going to walk with God. It's not worth it to them. You know, we grandparents, we've got a responsibility. We don't quit because we're children are raised. We still got a responsibility to walk with God. I want my grandchildren to know that they have a granddaddy and a grandma that walks with God. Amen. That loves God. Good. Right. Amen? Yes. You see, you can't, you've got to quit this quitting stuff and walking away from the Lord. You've got to spread the blessings of God in your life to other people. Amen? And that's what he did. He gave her the springs there. She asked for him. He gave her them springs. I want to tell you something, folks. You need to give some springs to your children. Spiritual springs. Spiritual blessings. Amen. And you're not going to get that done if you don't walk with God. If you don't walk with him and serve God and be the kind of person you ought to be. Be a Caleb. Now you say, Brother Ross, how do I do that? You make a determination to do it. You quit this fooling around. You quit this just being lax in your Christian life. You be faithful to God's house and you walk with God. Whenever God deals with you about something, you quit it and you do right. You quit this foolishness. You read your Bible. You pray. You do right. You teach your children and your grandchildren. You teach them the things of God. And you set an example for them. You hear what I'm saying? See, that's what Caleb did. Now, what we need is some daddies that'll make a determination that's what they're going to do. Not just talk about it, not just act like it, not just hear it and go home and never change, but you need to do it. Amen. And then one other thing that Caleb did that I think is so important. Caleb wanted the very best that God had. I'm going to explain that to you, but folks, listen, there's some things of God that we have, but there's the best that God has. And Caleb wanted. I want you to look at verse number 13 and verse number 14 and of chapter 14 of Joshua. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore become the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. You know what he got? He got Hebron as an inheritance. I'm going to explain that to you. You probably already may know it, but that's very, very important. Hebron there is a word that speaks of communion, union. I don't know whether you understand this or not, but if you go back in Genesis, the 13th chapter, you find that that's where Abraham met God. That's where Abraham built an altar and talked with God face to face. You know what we need? We need some daddies that's going to talk to God face to face. We need some daddies that's going to claim Hebron, the place of communion with God, not just coming to church and not just trying to live a decent Christian life. No, I mean be in communion with God Almighty. And that's what Caleb did. He wanted the very best that God had. And let me tell you, that's the very best. Oh, Satan don't mind to give you a little bit of the plain ground and a little bit of the valleys once in a while. He don't even mind if you have a little bit of the milk and honey of the Christian life. But when you get serious with God and you want to claim communion and union and fellowship with God, I want to tell you, oh, Satan is not going to like it. And he's going to fight you for it. And that was a rugged mountain up there. And he said, you give me that mountain, I'm going to go after it. And it was representative of the fellowship and the communion that was showed there way back in history. When old Abraham talked with God there face to face, we need some daddies that'll talk with God face to face. I'm not talking about a little lay me down to prayer thing, to sleep prayer. I'm talking about get alone with God and get a hold of God and talk with God and commune with God. Why? Because your children are at stake. Your families are at stake. This church is at stake. This community is at stake. You see what he wanted? Caleb wanted the very best God had, and that best that God had was sweet, precious communion with him. I would encourage the ladies, and sometimes this is true, and I know sometimes it's not. Sometimes ladies maybe have a little more, when I say this, maybe time at home to spend some time in prayer. I want to tell you something. Ladies, don't waste that. You get a hold of God for your family. Got some older ladies here in this church. Won't you please make a commitment to pray for your, not only your family, but for this church and for the work of God? That I mean, take special time and get in Hebron, the place of communion with God, and call on God to help us. You hear what this preacher's saying? I'm asking you, please, to do it. I'm asking daddies, please get a hold of God for your children, for your seed that's coming up after you. It's going to be too late one of these days. It's going to be too late. They need it from their firstborn to begin to cry out to God for them. You understand that? Jerry's coming out with his new book. Give me the title of that again, Jerry. Childhood Years of Jesus Christ. I've been reading it. He'll be coming out with that. Wonderful, wonderful book. Wonderful book. And I want to tell you, you better get a hold of that. You better get some of the teachings that's in there and instill them in your children's lives and in your lives. Because it don't all happen when they get teenagers and you recognize there's something from outer world, outer space. The reason there's something from outer space is because we allowed them to be something from outer space. They are different, but I want to tell you, they can be things built into them. So I'm saying to you, get a hold of God. Quit fooling around. Be a Caleb. Amen? Be a Caleb. Don't let your faith waver. Don't let your strength weaken. Spread the blessings God has given you to your family and others, as Caleb did, and then desire to have the very best God has, and that's fellowship. That's not things. That's not material things. It's fellowship with God. I want to tell you right now, I'd rather spend 5 minutes in the presence of God than a year in Hawaii. You understand what I'm saying? Daddies, Be a Caleb. Determine you're going to be that. You say, how am I going to do that? You can't do it by just thinking about it. You got to put some things in action. You got to make some decisions, some changes in life. You can do it with God's help, but you can't just do it by just talking about it. You've got to apply it. So I pray that you'll do that. Your children need a daddy who's a Caleb. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for your wonderful grace. Thank you for your goodness and your kindness. Thank you, Father, that you never give up on us. Lord, you're always willing to help us, bless us. Lord, where we've failed you and just made so many mistakes and done wrong, Lord, you're always willing to redo those things and help us, get us back on the right track. You're willing to help our children and our grandchildren to be greater for God than they've ever been. Lord, help us to realize we need to make some decisions, determinations in our lives. And I pray you'll help daddies today to decide they're going to be a Caleb. And Father, to be that for their, first of all, for your sake, but also for their family's sake. And I just pray today, Lord, if there's anyone here unsaved, oh God, that you would save that soul. You'd lay upon the heart of that individual and convict them of their sin and their need of Christ. And then, Father, for daddies or whoever it might be today that just been touched by this message, I pray, oh God, that you get grip a hold of their hearts and use this simple message to stir them to be better for you than they've ever been. And I pray that in your name of your lovely Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.